Athens News Matters is sponsored in part by the WUGA Community Advisory Council, dedicated and involved individuals who help WUGA stay connected with our listeners, community organizations, and issues in the Athens area. Learn more at WUGA.org.
Today on Athens News Matters, Kimberly Bennett on her run for District 5 Commissioner.
We're going to have to be very strategic about our zoning planning. What can we do to have these different types of affordable housing?
Plus, Athens' Poet Laureate reflects as she finishes her term.
When the news comes at you quickly, NPR's Morning Edition slows it down to make sense of what matters. Stay connected to the facts with Morning Edition every weekday.
This is Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Kimberly Bennett is the executive director of Cultivating a Lifetime of Legacy, Inc., a local nonprofit organization focused on youth mentorship. Bennett recently announced that she will run for the commissioner's seat in District 5 of Athens-Clark County. She joins opponents Rick Stanzial and Xander Mason. Bennett sat down with WUGA's Emma Howard to discuss her platform. Here's their conversation.
First of all, can you tell us a little bit about your background and what's leading you to run for commissioner?
Being active in this community for over 20 years, serving alongside different organizations, working with to strengthen families and youth, and also working in leadership roles within several organizations locally, and having a background in youth development leadership, and now pursuing a PhD in public administration. And also, I am the founder and executive director for Cultivating a Lifetime of Legacy, a mentoring organization that works with youth 12 to 24. Those things have led me to where I am today, running for commissioner for District 5. One of the things that kind of pushed me and kind of nudged me was, as a mentor, I sit down and work with so many youth and families. And so when you're mentoring youth and you're hearing their stories, and you're hearing stories of families being displaced or can't afford housing, it compels you because you have to do something. I can't mentor a child and try to give them hope and be realistic when we have these other issues that are hindering them from growth, from learning in school, from getting the bare necessities of what they need. And so it was that that started turning me to really deep dive into the community to figure out what's happening. What's happening in our community that everything is skyrocketing, there's no affordable housing. And so meeting families, one of my families was in shelters. One of the first things I uncovered is that shelters are temporary. And so if you're in a shelter and by that 60 or 90 days you haven't received housing, you haven't gotten housing, then you're back home. You're back in a unsafe, going from either in your car or to hotels and back and forth. And so it was that started tugging at me to figure out these systems and what can we do. And each issue was bigger than me. It was bigger than what my nonprofit can do. And then I start deep dive looking into what the commissioners, those financial resources, what can we do to make our community better? What can we do to increase affordability in housing, to find the things that we need for our lowest population, vulnerable population, and what can we do? So those were the things that kind of ignited me.
And is affordability the greatest challenge you see facing Athens, or are there other things that you'll be focusing on in your campaign?
There are other things, but affordability is a piece of that. And the way I see affordability is that I feel that we have to be more strategic about what affordability means. Affordability to a person making $70,000 may be different than a person making $15,000. And so we have to be very strategic about looking at the area of median income and figuring out how we're going to have different type of housing for each type of affordability to service people. And so with that, housing is one of them. Workforce development, of course, youth is another one. But all those, if we get people in housing and can solve some of those issues, then the youth development programs can get more funding and resources to make sure they have, family have places to send their youth and to make that impact. But we still have so many areas. And then we have the homelessness, which is a huge issue. Like I said, there are also some issues where there are people who are homeless that are working 40 hours a week and can't find a place to stay. And so those are some things that we need to try to address in our housing effort.
So experts predict that Athens will expand by tens of thousands of people in the coming decades. Do you expect District 5 to be impacted by this influx of new Athenians? And what approach would you take to managing growth in your district and in Athens as a whole?
I expect growth in District 5. Growth is happening now in District 5. There's new developments happening. There's new development being proposed for that area. So I do anticipate growth. But one of the things that I want to hammer on is that I want to make sure the residents of District 5 has a buy-in. They have a voice in that processing and deciding what properties and what that growth looks like for that community. So that is one of my key slogans about community, is making sure community is engaged, informed, and a part of that process. And so when you have an informed, engaged community, and they're going to tell you how they want to shape their neighborhoods and, which direction they want to go in. But with Athens growth, we've grown, I think it's like almost 130,000 people here now, and we still have a high poverty rate of 26%. So there's growth that's going to happen, but we got to start tugging at some of these lower-end hanging issues. That's our poverty rate. That's our homeless rate. We got to start figuring out those issues, because if not, they're going to get bigger. The more people come in, you're going to get bigger. Those issues.
And what would you say would be some of the strategies that you would employ to try to reduce the housing costs and the barriers to housing that are here in the community?
I think it's going to take several things. I spoke about the area medium income before. I think we're going to have to be very strategic on a commission about where our resources, financial resources, can go. And then we're going to have to be very strategic about our zoning planning. What can we do to have these different types of affordable housing? And then what kind of partnerships do we need to fulfill these obligations and, giving incentives to different developers so that we can have that lower end? So those are the things I would like to work on first. And also I would like to look at saying we look at how student housing is coming in. Not saying that, UGA may have a great need, but Clark County, the greater population, has a greater need. But saying maybe we put a focus on these are the areas where student housing can go and expand, but these are the areas that we're going to employ for our primary resources for our families, our workforce, those that are, on the lower end.
And how would you assess the current functioning of the Athens-Clark County Commission? And what do you think you would add to the commission?
Right now, it's a governance body that is, everybody has a different personality. And I think sometimes that those personalities get in the way of the good or greater good for their constituents in their areas. And so for me, because I've worked in alongside so many different organizations and been on so many different boards, I think I can bring a personality that one that listens, one that sticks focused to what our issues are, to drive it for my district, make sure my district is heard, but also to the forward thinking of Athens. And so focusing a lot on what do we need to do for everyone to move forward and to have the Athens where families can thrive, professionals can thrive, and people want to stay here and work here.
And what would you say are some of the strategies that you would want to employ if elected to contribute to economic and workforce development?
Workforce development, economics, first is just, those offering employers different incentives so that they can hire some of that population that we know need to get employed, the people who have a felony background. some of those incentives, some people that need training or maybe reskilling, because a lot of times people are in jobs, can't move up on jobs and need, you know, so that reskilling are some of those things. But putting, you know, set aside for economic development, you know, helping small business. You know, my district has some small business owners, and, it, you know, a lot of small business, especially in restaurants, are closing now. So we need to make sure that they have resources and training they need to grow their business so that they can hire some of the people that need employment.
Kimberly Bennett, thank you so much for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kimberly Bennett is the executive director of a local youth development nonprofit and is running for District 5 Commissioner in Athens-Clarke County. This is Athens News Matters from WUGA.
I'm Tanya Mosley. There's so much news that it's hard to keep up, and many of those stories break in the middle of the day. Here and Now covers the news when you need it, so you're in the know.
Welcome back to Athens News Matters. I'm Alexia Ridley. Makelia Robinson-Smith is Athens' second ever Poet Laureate. As her term finishes at the end of this year, she sat down with WUGA's Emma Auer to reflect on her poetic philosophy and more. Here's their conversation.
So, Makelia, what has been the guiding philosophy of your 2 years as Poet Laureate of Athens, Georgia?
Yeah, it's going to be the same. I say it all the time. I said it, I believe, in my application to be Poet Laureate. I say it when I perform. I say it all the time that poetry is not a luxury. And I feel like my time as Poet Laureate has formed from that, in reflecting and sharing the beauty of literature, of poetry, of stories, of us as a community and us as a people, that we deserve poetry, we deserve beauty, we deserve to share our words.
You are an educator and a mother, and I'm wondering what you've told your children about your role as Poet Laureate and what you tell them about poetry.
It's been really amazing to see my kids. I have two kiddos, one is 4, one is 1. And my 4-year-old, she's very, very interested in poetry and coming to events. She started to write her own poetry, and she'll recite it, and she'll say "Mommy, you're the Poet Laureate." After she'll watch the event or see the event or see me perform, she'll go, "That's my mom." And I have to say, that is the greatest joy, and there's no other compliment that will ever top that, is my kids seeing what's possible through language.
Can you read us a poem, please?
Yes, I can. This poem is called "We Cannot Eat Poems." We cannot eat poems. A poem is something you hunger for. I want everyone to be fed, but every word they write and sign is death. A poem is a seed. A poem is a tree. A poem is fresh, ripe fruit. Is air from my body, is blood, bones, lip, blood, sweat, tears, blood is blood. A poem is a poem. You cannot mince it and fry and stir and serve it to children. I want everyone to be fed, so I am writing this. I can make a bigger meal. I will lay across the rushing water and be a bridge for my neighbor. Yes, walk across me. I will give what I can, take what you need. I will hold you up. I use my hands to dig deep into the soil for words that we cannot heat up after school. I will give what I can. I can share what I have to be given. This was never mine to keep. We cannot eat poems. We are hungry, and they keep writing death. It kills. It kills. Blood my body. Blood my bone. Blood my flesh. Blood my flesh. I need to eat more than this empty air. Death is hungry for the wrong souls. Eat the men who are riding her a weapon. Food comes from holy ground. Food can be killed. There is a process for all of this. These days when I write, I lament. I want to eat. We are hungry. Death raises her arm. They steer her like a ship. Men hold their pens like lighthouses, like flames, pretending that they are Lady Liberty, lighting the way for cannibals. No one is free when we cannot be fed. A poem is a tool. A poem is a weapon. We can all eat. Someone is holding death hostage. A poem is a gun. A poem is something you hunger for. A poem is words. A poem is life. A poem is death. A poem is who gets to be remembered. A poem is a dinner table. We are what remains when death comes to eat before us. A poem is empty. A poem cannot go to the grocery store and buy milk. A poem is a mother. A poem is God in a godless world. A poem does not shake hands with the cannibals who send the world to hell. A poem is where God dwells. A poem says to be fed. Yes, you can eat here, my children. A poem is where we go to pray. A poem is where we go when we are hungry. A poem is where we go when we need God. A poem helps us to be naked, to be human. Those who hold death hostage do not come here to be saved. The cannibals with the pens, light torches, don't know that the ground is holy, that the will to live, eat, survive is in our will, is in our lineage, is in our mouths, is in our poems. You cannot eat a poem, cannot devour it selfishly and keep it for yourself, cannot steal it, cannot cash in her God checks for something else. A poem is sacred. A poem is God. A poem is where we bow our knees. A poem is where we go when we are hungry. A poem is where we go to be fed. Thank you.
Can you tell me what question does this poem answer?
Yeah, it answers so many questions, really. I think even with this poem, I was asking the question, who deserves or who gets to say who gets to eat and live and die? And I wrote this around the time after the announcements of the SNAP benefits being cut, and we were still all going to work and still, you know, the world itself, as in the systems and our lives, didn't stop. Like, I felt like there was no, like, pause of, like, people won't be able to eat. And obviously that sent shockwaves, especially in the organization community, with activists, with the people who were, of course, being affected by this. It just feels like whenever these things are being said, it's like, this is life and death. This is babies not being fed. The fact that we're even having the conversation was something that I was like, how is this even possible right now? And of course we know the answer to that. And I was in this place of feeling like, why would I even write a poem about people not being able to eat, right? Like, why words? And it kept tugging at me, and it felt like, okay, like, I need to lock in and do the things, like, hop on the call, bring meals to people, do whatever I can. For me, this poem was an emotional evocation of why say anything. It's because we have to.
Well, Akelia Robinson-Smith, thank you so much for sitting down with me today, and congratulations on your term as Poet Laureate.
Thank you so much.
Makelia Robinson-Smith is Athens' second ever Poet Laureate. Her term ends this year. You've been listening to Athens News Matters from WUGA News. The opinions expressed on this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of WUGA or the University of Georgia. This week's show was produced by Emma Auer. If you missed a portion of this broadcast, Athens News Matters is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and at WUGA.org, and will be rebroadcast Monday evenings at 8. As always, thanks for listening, and stay with WUGA throughout the week for the latest in-depth local news.